and welcome to Karate Kid Master Dojo. This is Master Craig. Hello, everybody. How you doing today? In case you're joining us for the first time, I am Senior Master Craig Greca. I'm a 6th-degree black belt in the Universal Martial Art, a 5th-degree master in the Taekwondo Martial Art. I'm a brown sash in Kung Fu, and I've been training in 3 years in Kabuto Weapons. And I'm here today to discuss the teachings and trainings inside the Karate Kid universe, including the Cobra Kai Netflix show. Now, our today's example comes to us from the Karate Kid movies, in which Mr. Miyagi would have had Daniel sand the floor or paint the fence, which is very similar in action to working on a roof of a house, okay? But they, when making that movie, they probably could not have done that because it's a lot more dangerous to have actors up on doing a scene on the roof. So they opted for other ones that were easier to do, like the sand the floor of the fence. So today's topic is tar the roof. Tar the roof. Okay. Now, a little personal history on this. When I was a kid, I spent my senior year, the summer of my senior year, up on the roof of our family's home, and I was redoing the tar paper and re-shingling the roof. My dad showed me how to do it, and then I proceeded to nail in each shingle until the whole roof was done. I would, you know, systematically line it up, make sure that it was straight. And then with the next one, and then I would simply, take the nail, the roofing nail, and I would simply, tap it in a little bit, and then I would hit it in. So I, I'd already seen The Karate Kid when I was a freshman in high school, so I remember practicing my Karate Kid skills, so that the roofing nail was barely in, and then I would strike it with the hammer in one movement, one blow to drive it home. You know, with the roofing nail, it's pretty easy, but it was still a lot of fun. I know that nowadays the concept of using a roofing nail is obsolete. Nowadays, you'd have a long air hose up there and a compressor, and you simply just use a nail gun. But back in the day, that's how we did it. Okay, so I got a chance to practice. It was good good work for me to do. I think I even remember getting sunburned on the back of my neck and the top of my thighs because of the angle of the roof all summer. So anyways, our work task today is the tar of the roof. And we're going to speak specifically today about flat or slightly pitched roofs. Okay? Just to get my point across, okay? Now first, before we begin, there's a safety issue here. You have to make sure that you're very careful when getting up and down off a roof. You also have to be careful walking on the roof as well. I remember also too when I was a kid, I was walking just below the roof, and then I my feet fell through the ceiling of the kitchen. And then that was a family joke for a while. So you got to make sure that you're very careful when walking on something like that. So anyways, one of the first steps to do is to carry your supplies up there, including a broom. And I always bring a broom up there first to sweep out the puddles, if there is any, to make sure that they're all dry out before I get started. Then I bring up the bucket of tar. And then before I bring the bucket up, I shove a flat bladed screwdriver in my pocket so that I can open the can when I get up there, because you don't want to keep on having to go up and down that ladder and on top of the roof. I also make sure I bring my trowel up there as well when I bring my screwdriver and bucket of tar. Then once I get up there, I open up the can and I spread the tar with the trowel, covering any spots that need covered, and to make a nice thin coat for proper drying. Because when I was a kid, I did shingles. I didn't I didn't have to worry about this as much. We put a layer of tar paper down, but these flat roofs are sometimes a lot more sensitive to leaking. So anyways, one of the techniques that I used to push the tar from one place to another was the smear technique. Okay, so I take the trowel with a bunch of tar on it, and I would simply push it from one back and forth, bringing it with you as you move closer. Okay, and that would thin it out a little bit so it wasn't so thick, and it also would spread it evenly in the area that you were trying to put it. So the smear technique is a pretty good one. Kind of start further away from you and kind of bring it towards you. Or you can start from the left and smear technique it all the way to the right, or vice versa. The other technique that I used was the side-to-side technique. Okay, so like after I had a glob of the tar down, I would take it and just slide it all the way across to try and get a thin coat to fill an area. Okay. And then when you have a bunch of tar there, you want to make sure that you, after you've done the smear technique and the side-to-side technique, you thin out the sides technique to make sure that your edges are thin for water to glide off later when it rains. What I mean by that is that you don't want to leave, like, when you're doing a big patch, you don't really want to have the edge of the area that you used to be a little higher than the middle part of the area you did, because then the water can pool later on. So you have to thin out the edges. I do the same thing with concrete as well. So you also have to make sure that you're careful the whole time that you don't get any tar on you. Okay, that stuff's pretty nasty to clean up. So I'm a pretty clean painter. So I'm also a pretty clean tarer as well. That's a word, tarer. But anyways, I try not to get any of it on me at all. So I'm very, very careful. Sometimes it you get a drop of it on your hand and you have to kind of, try and scrape it on the shingles to try and wear it out, or I have a rag up there to wipe it off a little bit so I don't trail it all over the place. Okay. Now, after a lot of times I do a section, sometimes I have to add more of the flat roll shingles where needed in order to cover a big area, and also to so that it can make it more of a walkable surface later on, because sometimes the tar takes a long time to cure and dry. The tar itself needs several 70-degree or above days in order for it to really bake on there. And even when it's baked on there, sometimes I feel like I still step in it and it squishes. So that's why it's very important that you put the, another layer of shingles down on top of a bad area. Okay? Then after I've done the roll shingles in that area, I simply do the side-to-side technique and make sure that all the seams around it are all sealed. Okay, so after I've rolled out like a big rectangle patch of roll shingles, I'll make sure that the ends and the sides are all, rectangled and edged up so that nothing can get in. Now, just like we talked about earlier about making sure you don't get any on you, then you have to, after you're all done, usually when I run out of tar, the job is done. You clean up your mess by using odorless mineral spirits to clean up your tools and your hands. Okay, I usually have a pretty systematic way of doing this because I try to minimize the mess as much as possible. For example, I throw the bucket and put the lid back on the bucket, immediately throw the bucket away so that it's gone. It's in the dumpster. Don't have to worry about it anymore. Then I wash my hands a little bit just to make sure that I'm not touching things like the door coming in to the place or door coming out and getting black stuff on it. And then after my hands are sort of clean so they don't I don't make a mess anywhere else, then I go ahead and take some paper towel and I scrape the tar off, some of the tar off the tool. And then I start using a little bit of the mineral spirits in a bucket to kind of like, you know, get it liquefied first. And then I keep on trying to clean the tool, both halves of the trowel, with paper towel. And it usually takes me about at least five times to get all the tar off. And then after that, I do it one more time to clean it off all the way. And the tool's pretty clean. Then I finish the rest of it with soap and water. And then I wash my hands one more time with the mineral spirits. And then wash my hands two or three times with soap and water at the end. Okay, so that's it in a nutshell. You know, even the friends that I've talked to that have told me about flat roofs, it's just one of those things. It's kind of a tedious thing. He said that his dad had a flat roof on his business, and it seemed like that he was always going up there with a bucket of tar. So it's just one of the things you got to do, you know. And some of you guys may not have a flat roof. A lot of times you'll have flat roofs on like sheds, you know, so that's applicable for that. A lot of times on a house you'll have a pitched roof, so you won't have to worry about it too much. But the good news is that I've done this several times, and I was doing it over the winter, and it was really hard because I wasn't getting above 70 degrees, so I couldn't, my tar wouldn't cure. But I'm happy to report that I don't have any more leaks in my martial arts studio, so that's been nice. So I finally got it the way I needed to get it. So the weather was good here in Michigan for a little bit, and I had some 3 or 4 80-degree days, and I was able to cure all the tar that's up there, and it made it into a seam where it doesn't leak anymore. So that was nice. So anyways, let's move on from the work technique into the martial art practice, okay? Now, as far as the physical training goes for tar the roof, we're going to utilize that technique that we used earlier called the smearing technique, okay? In martial arts, you can use what I call the smearing blocks, okay? Now, smearing blocks is just a way to describe it, and it's a series of face-level, mid-level, and low-level blocks that are circular in nature to be in the way and in front of your body to distract, deflect, and disrupt any technique from contacting you. Okay, so by doing those in circles, you can keep that shield in front of you, and then people will have a hard time. Even if you don't personally intercept the technique, it will be in the way from them getting a clear shot. Okay, so the smearing blocks do work. So even you know, a kid who doesn't have good hand-eye coordination can still keep those blocks in front of them in order to keep an attacker from making a solid hit. Okay? So it's the smearing blocks is a technique. Now, another one is the side-to-side techniques. Now, this is different from the traditional Karate Kid traditional house painting technique because it goes all one way. Okay? Like a round palm strike that we do in our martial art with a push at the end to move your opponent to a better position or out of the way. Okay, so you use a round palm strike and you hit them, and then as you hit them, you put a little extra muscle into it to push your opponent out of the way or into a better position for another technique. Okay, so for example, someone comes at me and then I block their arm, their outside arm, and then I use a round palm strike to hit it, and thus hitting them in the upper arm or shoulder, causing them to move to the side so that I can, you know, side kick them or swing kick them a little bit easier. Okay? So that's just a way to manipulate your opponent so that you can get them to the area that you need them to get to so you can do your powerful kick. Okay? Now, another martial art training one is the ridge hand that they call in Taekwondo, or a reverse knife hand strike, like we call in ours. Okay, now this is a technique that I got from, when you take the tar out of the bucket and then you hit it on the roof to get the tar off your trowel. It's very similar to that kind of motion. Because it's kind of like dumping the tar after you pick it up. And that edge of that trowel is very similar to a ridge hand technique. Now, a ridge hand is a pretty good technique. It's unorthodox, but it does work. Pretty tough. You have to tuck your thumb so that you're hitting with the ridge of your hand. You have to curl your fingers so that your hand is strong. And one thing nice about the ridge hand is that it can get to places where the punch cannot. So, like, for example, if someone has a short neck and you're trying to punch them in the throat, to be effective in order to get them, you know, to not attack you, you can't do that if your fist doesn't fit there. But a ridge hand will. Okay, so when your hand's in a ridge hand or reverse knife hand position, you can hit those areas like under the armpit, in the neck, or like in the kidney. It can give you more of a focused technique in the kidney. It's just a pretty good technique to do. Okay, especially if you have your hand open already. Not in a fist. So that's the reverse knife hand. Okay, now that's all I have for the physical training today for the tar of the roof work topic. But as far as the martial art practice mental training, okay, we're going to introduce a concept called stuck in the tar. Okay, so it's stuck in the tar. And what this means is that make sure that you are always learning. Otherwise, you will get stuck in the tar. Okay? Just like in prehistoric era, some prehistoric animals used to get stuck in the tar pits. And after they got stuck in the tar pits, then they would get picked off by predators, like a T-Rex. Okay? So you want to make sure you stay out of those tar pits, okay? So those prehistoric animals maybe got wiser later on to stay away from those, because if they got in those tar pits, they knew they were done for, okay? And that metaphor is good for us, too. We don't want to be stuck in the tar, okay? Stuck in the tar means we're not learning. If we're not learning and growing, then we're being stagnant, okay? The stuck in the tar is very similar to what the founder of McDonald's said. His name was Ray Kroc. The founder of McDonald's said, if you're green, you're growing. If you're ripe, you're rotten. Okay? And it means the same thing. Okay? You want to always be green and growing. You don't want to be not learning and think that you're all done. Okay? Because as soon as you think you're all done, you are. So I want to make sure that you're not doing that. Okay, in our martial art, we touch on that by talking about the concept or principle of humility. To have humility to keep on learning, always learning all the time. Okay, so that's all we have for the mental training today of our martial art. Now, just to wrap things up a little bit, we have a couple things. First of all, we always have our secret phrase of the day. Okay. And our secret phrase of the day is stuck in the tar. We don't want to be stuck in the tar. Okay? Just happened to be right there. The technique of the week. Okay? So the technique of the week is the smearing blocks. Okay? You can smear your opponent away. Okay? By keeping those blocks in front of you. Okay? Now, next week, we're going to introduce a new one for you guys here, too. It is the martial art philosophy tip of the week, okay? Because we talk so much about the mental training as well as the physical training, we want to make sure that we're touching on that each week. We have a clear concept. So the martial art tip of the week will start next week, okay? So anyways, I hope that you guys got a lot out of the podcast today. Keep on learning. Keep on listening. We usually try and do these about twice a month now, just because we're busy at the studio here. Therefore, we can do it a little bit easier. So anyways, remember that we are here learning martial arts through everyday work, thus creating life around you, increased productivity, and a better world. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your week. This is Karate Kid Master Dojo. This is Master Craig. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.